This is Radio Free Asgard.
You are tuned to Radio Free Asgard, episode number 128. We are still the only Thor podcast hosted by a true descendant of Odin. And we're also a proud member of the Comics Podcast Network. My name is Tom Harris in Chicago, Illinois. Welcome along to the show. And what a last couple of weeks have been for us fans. I have to say, this has been one great thing after another happening over the last few weeks with the release of Thor 2. Movie has continued to do very well. It's down a bit from where it was, but hey, Thor 2 is an unqualified success, and we will be getting a third installment, which is awesome. Now, we will be talking a lot more about Thor 2 next episode, so I want to encourage everybody, if you want your opinion to be known and you want to participate in our discussion, please feel free to contact the show. You can email us, you can send us a voice file. There's a lot of different ways to participate, and I'm going to open up the Facebook group for comments as far as The Dark World is concerned. I think that we've had enough people now who've seen it that I don't think we're going to be spoiling it for everybody. So, you know, I think it's okay to go ahead. Let's talk about it. Let's have our discussions over on the Facebook group. And if you want to join the Facebook group to join in those discussions, you are more than welcome to do that as well. But that's not the only big fandom thing going on over the last couple of weeks. For those of you who are fans of the Doctor Who franchise, and I definitely count myself among that number, we've had the 50th anniversary going on over the last 2 weeks. Oh, this past weekend was the big 50th anniversary special. I haven't seen it yet, but people have been really bad with the spoilers on this Doctor Who thing. I mean, I already know what has, you know, happens in it. I already know who makes appearances, you know. I'm not one of those people who bitches about getting things spoiled for me. I don't really care about spoilers. Half the time, I don't remember them anyway. You know, I was watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and I finally finished watching the series, and I had to say, I can't call myself a huge Buffy fan, but there were a lot of spoilers given to me during the course of me watching the series, but you know what? I didn't remember them, you know, and to me, it doesn't really matter how much what the spoiler is as how you get there. I know it's coming, but I don't really pay attention to that. I don't think about it. You know, and when it happens, like, oh yeah, okay, that's pretty cool. And that's usually the reaction I end up having to these sorts of things. But anyway, I've seen some of the secondary stuff following the Doctor Who special. I've seen, you know, of course, Night of the Doctor with Paul McGann. I have to admit, I kind of squealed a little bit when he appeared on the screen. I have always thought that Paul McGann is one of those doctors who should have done a lot more as far as movies and TV has been concerned. I think that he's a great actor. I've seen him in other stuff, and he's terrific. But also, the project that Peter Davison did with Sylvester McCoy and Colin Baker, the Five-ish Doctors reboot special, that was a lot of fun. I have to say, and that one is available to watch for free online. I definitely recommend that people go see that. There's a million little cameos. There's a lot of little visual things in there that make it a lot of fun. And especially if you've been following Who for a long time. Even though I have to say, you know, if I had to pick a doctor that was quote unquote my doctor, I have to say that it was Tom Baker, because in the 70s in America, it was Tom Baker. If you came up during that time, even during that time in the UK, when Peter Davison was the doctor, we didn't get those over here until he'd been at it for over a year. So we really didn't get him till later. It's just great that there's been a lot of excitement over the Doctor Who 50th anniversary. And to the point where I'm sure that a lot of people have gotten kind of tired of hearing about it. But at the same time, I'm a big Who fan and I love it all. And I'm looking forward to seeing the 50th anniversary special, even though people have spoiled it for me. But not really, you know, and I don't, like I said, I don't really care about that. All right, so we do have an issue of Thor to cover here, and so let's go ahead and move along to our review.
Cross the rainbow bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar. You'll behold in breathless wonder the God of Thunder, Mighty Thor.
So this week we're going to be covering a shameless product of Marvel's marketing department. It's a one-shot, as far as I can tell. Hopefully it's a one-shot anyway. I don't think that this would make a terribly exciting ongoing series. But it is called Thor, Crown of Fools. Cover art is by Italian artist Andre DeVito, colored by Laura Villari. We're going to be hearing more about her inside and him. And it shows Thor, kind of a generic pose of angry-looking movie Thor, holding his hammer above his head, big bolt of lightning crashing down the background. He was reaching out to us with his left hand as though he's about to grab us around the throat and throttle us and turn us upside down and shake us and get all of our money out of our pockets so we can buy this book. On the inside front cover, we have Iron Man 3 Halloween costumes, which just shows how far behind I am with the current titles. I think if a kid were to buy one of these costumes, they would be really disappointed that it doesn't shoot light beams out of the hands the way it shows in the advertisement. Anyway, we have Iron Man, and we have a red, white, and blue version of Iron Man, which I'm not sure, is that War Machine, or I don't know. I don't really know who that character is. Anyway, we open up to the splash page where we have the credits. Brian J.L. Glass is the writer. Andrea DeVito is the artist. Laura Villari is the colorist. VC's Joe Sabino is the letter. Wait. Okay, so have I been saying it wrong all this time? Is it really Sabino and not Serino? Am I really that much of an idiot? I suppose I must be. Emily Shaw is the assistant editor. Bill Rosenman was the editor. Axel Alonso is the editor-in-chief. Joe Quesada is the chief creative officer. Dan Buckley is the publisher. And Alan Fine is the executive producer. Splash page shows Thor looking all armed in a pose somewhat like the one that he is in the cover. And he looks kind of shocked and drawing back in rage. And we get a little bit of narration here. The mighty Thor, Prince of Asgard, is many things. Courageous, valiant, and noble. Amidst all the nine realms, there is none more loyal than he. No one you see is more loyal than he. Oh, and he is saying, I don't know what spell you're under, but no matter the cause, I will not fight my friends. And we see that he is facing off against the Warriors Three. We have Fandral, Hogan, Volstagg, and the Lady Sif. Now, I will say right off the bat here that we are looking at the movie versions of these characters, not the comics versions. So we definitely have them looking as though they were in the movie. Fandral is saying, ah, but you will. And Sif says, you will fight and surely lose. And we turn to the next page where we shift scenes and we find ourselves in Asgard. And apparently this is taking place earlier than this splash page here. And Asgard is being besieged by birds. Yes, it's a Tippi Hedren horror scene going on in Asgard here. And there's just birds swarming around Asgard, and Sif is trying to chop them with his sword, and Fandral's trying to hack them with his sword, and Volstagg's trying to make, you know, pigeon fricassee with his axe. And Hogan has got the right idea, and he's kind of whipping his cape around. And that, I mean, that would be the easiest way to catch them, wouldn't it be? And there's like children running around terrified, and everyone looks kind of frightened. And Sif is saying, where do they come from? I don't understand how this is happening.
To me, children, says Volstagg, for no mere avian can threaten the Lion of Asgard.
For none other has the girth to shield them than Volstagg the Voluminous.
Now, that's kind of a lame joke when you consider that Volstagg in this comic looks like the movie Volstagg and is therefore looks just like a big muscular dude. He doesn't look like he's voluminous at all.
Less talk, more saving, says Hogan as he's whipping around his cape.
This way, little one, says Fandral, and Sif is saying, there, they fly towards the forest and the mountains beyond. We follow. You can either join me or not get in my way.
And Sif leaps up on horseback, and she's getting ready to take off, and Fandral's like,
let's be not hasty, Sif. They were birds, and hardly a threat to the realm eternal.
The Warriors Three refuse the call of adventure, or afraid I'll prove you're better.
The lady makes a fine point, says Volstagg.
I am not above following a woman into adventure. I simply prefer pursuit of a damsel to the purpose of the quest.
I look forward to the hearty feast that follows an adventure's end.
We find the cause. We slay the beast.
All right, to put an end to this fear.
whatever stands in our... And they're getting ready to leave, and there's a shadowy figure blocking the gateway leading out of the city, and it turns out to be none other than our friend Thor. And Thor confronts them, and he says, Heimdall saw your intent and alerted me. This plan is reckless.
We were attacked without provocation.
By birds.
By great, fierce birds.
Children of Asgard were attacked, and I am determined to...
The answer is no. I cannot allow...
Is this an edict from Odin?
The Allfather has made no pronouncement on this situation.
Then we're going, says Sif, and you're welcome to join us.
They all go setting off, and you see the silhouettes of the five of them riding off on horses out of the city. It looks like the front four of them have like one long like horse centipede thing. Anyway, so Fandral's like, how does she keep talking us into things like this?
For one of Sif's skill and beauty, 'tis simple. She bats her eyelashes and calls us cowards.
And sometimes I even draw my sword, says Sif.
So they go riding off through a spectacular mountain scenery a la Lord of the Rings. Thor is leading the group of them.
As we all jest, but this is no laughing matter.
It appears that my brother Loki's excessive use of mystic portals, that network of secret conduits he discovered that link the lands of the World Tree, has disrupted the stability of them all. Each of the nine realms suffers. A natural behavior of the wildlife, abnormal weather patterns, earthquakes upon more worlds than just Midgard. Many ancient relics of power that were better lost are unearthed from forgotten tombs to plague the living once more.
You seek to frighten us with tales of the unknown, says Sif, while all I hear is an urgency to fulfill this quest.
I was raised to fear frost giants, and their people suffered for it. Only now we live in an age when our lives are more in peril than we knew.
Because of Loki?
No, I speak of things stirring in the shadows of the cosmos that make terrible schemes of my brother little more than the games of children.
Are you suggesting that we Asgards have no hope?
Never. Hope springs eternal. I urge caution, however. For we never know what awaits us round the next corner, and they go riding in the woods, and the five of them are attacked by, well, they say that's wolves in the panel. They look like sea lions to me. I'm sorry. They kind of,
they look very kind of sea lionish, but they're wolves.
Wolves, says Thor.
I guess the Asgardian wolves look kind of like sea lions, and they're going grr, grr, arr. And they're biting on Thor's arm, and he's like,
Wolves! Don't harm them. They're not responsible for their actions.
Like the birds. Understand me, Thor. It's not the animals I seek, but the cause behind their aggression.
And there flee our horses with the luggage, says Fandral, because these people are idiots and don't tie up their horses. And the Volstagg's fighting the wolves. He's like, nice doggies. He's kind of holding them back with his arms. And Thor takes his hammer and he just uses it kind of like a taser and sparks one of the wolves right in the eye, which seems like it would be really painful. And somebody says, what are you doing, Thor? He says,
showing the leader of this pack where true power lies. Our horses will be back in their stables before those wolves even remember to follow their scent. And it seems we've reached our destination after all. That crevasse in the rocks is newly opened, while that ancient fortress was not there yesterday. And they look down in this huge chasm, and there's an entire castle just sitting down in this big old hole.
And this makes absolutely no sense. But anyway, they go down there, and it's this huge castle, very medieval-y, rocky, stony castle. There's a big chair here, and they go walking in there.
There are no records of such a place existing here. This is most curious. By the size of this place, it looks like giants.
No giant ever built a palace in Asgard. At least none I've ever heard this tale of.
Then we advance, but with the caution of Thor.
Aye, Sif. I'm no longer as headstrong as I once was.
Do you hear that, Volstagg? We proceed with caution, not wandering off as your nose and stomach leads.
Undoubtedly, Volstagg the Cautious has always been at the foremost of my many titles.
And they're passing by a room, and Volstagg looks in and he sees this big feast just kind of laid out. It's like turkey and suckling pig and mead and candles and a fruit basket and I don't know. Anyway, it's lots of food.
What's this? A feast? As if somebody knew I would be present.
Let us guess what happens here.
And they pass by another room, and Fandral sees a damsel in distress. A blonde woman looks a lot like Valkyrie from The Defenders. She's chained to the floor, and he's wearing a pink dress and looks very helpless.
By Odin's beard, I'll have you free of those bonds in an instant, and woe to whoever bound you.
And they continue on, and they come across a big red dragon, and he's like,
they call you Hogan the Grim? Then may such grim honor prove worthy of my challenge.
It will be my honor to show you.
And we see Volstagg in his feast room here saying,
my friends must surely join me in this repast, for there's more food upon the table than when I arrived.
But apparently Thor and Sif don't notice that they're gone or whatever. And he's like, Thor's like,
I've no skill in the architectural arts, but I'm certain the interior of this fortress does not match any dimension we witnessed from without.
I agree, said Sif. These passageways are far too long for the structure we entered. One of Loki's dimensional rifts, perhaps. But what's that at the end of one corridor?
And it's Odin's throne from the movies, his big gold, like, sword hilt with the sword sticking up out of it.
Most definitely a dimensional portal, one leading directly to the throne room of Asgard. But where's the honor guard? The throne of the Allfather is never to be left unattended. And blood upon the floor. Whatever horror fell upon my people, they'll not be long without a ruler, even if I must take the throne.
And Sif sits down on the throne, and the ravens are there, Hugin and Munin. And we're shifting back and forth to all of the different people. We see Hogan battling the dragon.
Such a battle as this. I've not the words, yet the burden of my honor is lifted at last.
And we see the Fandral has rescued the woman. And
you're safe, m'lady, as only Fandral and Dashing can make you.
Oh, my brave lord, you must promise never to leave me, ever.
On that, fair maiden, you have my solemn vow.
And we see Volstagg, and he's surrounded by turkey bones and all this other stuff. He's like,
I must concede I've vanquished this feast. Not a single bite more, except maybe just one more pie.
And we shift again to Thor, and he's going up a stairwell, and he sees none other than the evil Loki sitting in the window.
Loki. I should have realized such mischief wasn't the result of past misdeeds, but a real and present plot for my scheming brother. Was father's punishment not enough for you?
The All-Father Odin released me, Thor, for in his wisdom he believed I'd learned the error of my ways. This is no trick, brother, only your heart's desire.
I'll admit, such an outcome has never been far from my hope.
What does your heart tell you?
How I've longed for this day, brother.
That's so sad.
Your hammer, my staff.
Oh, my.
Father conceded his own failings as well, and ordered we rule together, and crush the enemies of Asgard as Odin should have, but never could.
And the two clasp arms, and we kind of see these scenes played out, like this future happenings going on, and we have Fandral and the woman, and they've got children running around, and it's like,
I never realized I could know such contentment.
Another drink, my love?
And Hogan is sitting in this big throne asleep, and Volstagg is still at the table, looking somewhat more voluminous than he looked before, and he's like,
just one more drumstick.
And we see Sif, and she's all warriored out, and she's missing an eye, and she's wearing this big, ornate, Odin-like helmet. And she's saying,
oh, Mother Sif, as it should be.
And then we see Thor and Loki. It looks like Loki is goading Thor on. He says,
we shall be tyrants, brother. Yes, as our every whim is fulfilled as we see fit.
And yet, we shall be benevolent tyrants. We... no!
And Thor sees that, you know, his friends are enslaved or ensorcicled or whatever that is. They're just kind of sitting in the middle of the corridor looking like they're half asleep.
I would never desire the oppression of another. To even consider it is like poison within me. Awake, my friends! Your visions are enchanted dreams! And this is the end of our tale revealed!
And Hogan swipes at Thor and smashes the ground with a crack with his mace.
I said I would not fight my friends, and you, Hogan, are amongst the most honorable of my companions," and Fandral's attacking him as well. "Dare threaten my home, my dearest family, then I shall strike you down like the baseless cur you are," says Fandral. "And Fandral, noble as you are skilled with the blade, I'll not raise my hammer against you." And the Volstagg is swiping at Thor too with his axe. He's like, "Oh, Volstagg, voluminous and proud, I will not harm a hair of your head."
"Interrupt my only meal. I'll starve before any absconds with even a morsel's crumb upon that chin."
And then we have Thor fighting the Lady Sif, and it's going clang, ka-chang, and they're fighting.
"And dearest Sif, you are like a sister to me. What vision so ensnares your senses that you see me as such a hated foe?
For the glory of Asgard, I'll permit no usurper to steal the throne that fell to me by right.
The only throne is that of my father, Odin, the Allfather, and he lives still.
By the sight of my last eye, I'll see yours blinded."
"You speak as if the power of the Allfather were yours."
"All-Mother Sif rules the realms, and you will surrender your life to her."
And she gets kind of close to skewering Thor with her sword here.
"What has so twisted your loyalty? Or who?"
And he sees a figure in the shadows, and it's a large figure sitting on a throne kind of in the background, and big blue guy. So I guess we can kind of safely infer here that this is a frost giant.
"Pardon, my Lady Sif, but seated upon the hall's great throne, there be the true villain of our tale."
"How dare you strike your queen?"
As he kind of throws her aside. And it turns out to be a frost giant, like I said, and he's wearing a funky-looking crown, and he's carrying a scepter, and he's all spiky, and he's got, like, crystals sticking out of him. I don't know if it's supposed to be ice or crystal or what. Anyway, she's like,
"Come, little prince, and kneel before your true master."
And swipes at him with a karam, knocks him back, smashes Thor into the stairs. He's like,
"What spell is strong enough that a frost giant might swat aside the son of Odin?"
"Power enough to bring all Asgard to kneel before me. The nine realms will surrender to me or feel my wrath."
And he's smashing at Thor and missing every time.
"Where do you run, little fly?"
"I must gain time to understand what truly transpired here."
"The only thing you'll understand is the power of the crown."
"Power of the crown? That's it. As with the vision of my brother Loki, my own will was twisted into a prison of my own making. They're not ensnared by their desires, but through a corruption of them. For the sake of my friends, I must end this swiftly and show this would-be tyrant that I'm the Prince of Thunder."
And he summons up lightning, comes crashing down, smashes the frost giant with a kaboom. And frost giant is kind of being staggered here by the lightning. And Thor shouts, "For Asgard!" And he swipes at the giant's head with his hammer, smashes the crown right off of it with a crabash. And the crown falls to ground with a clankety clank. And Thor says, "The crown of fools. This relic was thought lost ages ago." And the frost giant seems as though he's waking up from like a dream. He's like,
"Thought wouldn't be so bad if we ruled Asgard for once."
"Then you were as much of a victim of the crown as we."
"Was looking for food. Fell through a portal, landed in an earthquake. Found that crown, and it was just my size."
"And under its thrall, you desired a fortress and Asgardians to rule over. What happened?"
"I never meant any harm."
"Little harm was done, but the legacy of my brother remains ever before us."
"Sorry."
And Thor grabs the giant and carries him upward and away. And he says, "I'll return you to Jotunheim while my companions secure the crown. And may there be no further repercussions between us for this accident."
And we cut back to where the Warriors Three are. And Volstagg is holding the crown in his hands, looking at it. He's like, "Would you look at that? The crown appears my exact size. What harm could there be if I..."
And he starts to put it on his head, but he's stopped by the Lady Sif and her sword. And Volstagg is like,
"But I could have taken it off at any time."
"It appears the Crown of Fools was aptly named."
"Touché,"
says Hogan. And that is the end.
Now, there is another story in this issue. However, we have covered this story on the show before. This is a reprint of The Mighty Thor number 344 by Walt Simonson, and it is the story Whatever Happened to Balder the Brave. If you want to hear our coverage of this story, you'll have to go back in the Wayback Machine, go to radiofreeasgard.com. Go back to January of 2012 and listen to Radio Free Asgard episode number 36, where we cover this issue in its entirety. Before I cover the actual story, though, the all-new original story in the front half of the issue, I have to say this is a gorgeous, gorgeous reprinting of Thor number 344. This is obviously the recolored version from the omnibus. And I have to say, they did a spectacular job of recoloring this issue. One of the best things about this is that they've gotten rid of Frigga's bright blue day glow hair, which is one of the things I made fun of when I covered the issue. It's a beautifully rendered issue, you know, and it's definitely here for a reason, because this was the first appearance of the dark elf Malekith. So definitely worth a look. And if you want to hear our coverage, like I said, go back to episode number 36. So I have to admit, I'm a little bit jaded and cynical about this story. And the reason why is because it's clearly pandering to the Marvel movieverse audience. The kid who walked out of the movie theater saying, "I want to read a comic book about those characters that I just saw in the movie." Marvel knows that they don't offer those characters in the normal book. They don't have it in the regular Marvel universe. They don't have it in Marvel Now. All they have is this introduction to the Marvel Universe by way of the short story featuring the characters from the movie. It's a one and done. It's a very simplistic story. It's nothing to write home about. It's the sort of story that I would imagine you would have read in the 1970s as a fill-in issue if somebody missed a deadline. You know, not a bad story, but not a great story either. The artwork, not bad at all. It's not the best. It's not, like I said, particularly exciting. But on the other hand, it's better than Sal Buscema. So, yeah, what can I say? You know, they did a really nice job of delineating the characters. They don't look exactly the way they do in the movie, but it's still clearly those characters. Somebody who's seen the movie is not going to get confused about who these characters are. He did a good enough job here of making them look the way they did in the film. And I guess that's the whole point. Coloring job is really strong. Inking is really strong. In general, this is a good-looking comic book. But when you compare the artwork to the follow-up story with Walt Simonson art, it pales in comparison. Now, I think they could have chosen a better backup story. I know. The reason they chose it is because this particular issue, Thor 344, was the very, very first appearance of Malekith the Accursed. So there's your movie tie-in right there. But Malekith only appears in a few pages in the issue. Most of the rest of the story is Balder, who the movie viewer isn't going to know who the hell Balder is, because for some odd reason, Balder's not in either one of the Thor movies. And he better be in the third one, as far as I'm concerned, because this is inexcusable for such a major part of the Thor mythos to be completely absent from the Marvel movie universe. It's not just because Balder is my, you know, 65 great-grandfather or whatever the hell it is. It's because the character is important. It's not like a character that you don't have in. It's kind of like having Spider-Man without Aunt May or having the Fantastic Four without Alicia Masters. You know, I don't know. It just is one of those supporting characters that you just want to have. So it's a little bit frustrating to me that they don't have him in the Thor cinematic universe. And we'll talk a little bit maybe more about that next week. I think that Simonson is a good introduction in some ways to somebody being introduced to Thor for the first time, because you can see the book at the height of its modern greatness, of, you know, the sophistication and the artwork to go along with it. I mean, you know, obviously the Silver Age stuff is fantastic too, but for an entirely different reason. You didn't have the kind of sophistication that Simonson brought to the book. And I, you know, I've praised Simonson effusively on the show before, and I will continue to do so. But, you know, as great a story as it is, I do kind of feel that they're pandering to that movie audience. And I suppose that's really what it's all about.
All right, so with that, I think it's about time to call it quits for this episode. Thanks very much for listening, folks. And as always, you can join us on the Facebook group. You can email the show, radiofreeasgard@gmail.com, especially with your impressions of Thor to the Dark World. And I would love to hear from you. We're going to be reading out any mail that we get on next week's show. All right, so with that, it's back over the Rainbow Bridge and back to Midgard, and we'll see you next week here on Radio Free Asgard. Radio Free Asgard is copyright Tom Harris USA Productions, which is totally responsible for its content. The Mighty Thor and all related characters are copyright Marvel Comics. Any other characters that appear on the show are copyright their respective copyright holders. We don't own any of this as much as we'd like to. The stories covered on this podcast are for entertainment, educational, and review purposes only. If you like what you've heard on today's program, please tell your friends, drop an iTunes review, or join our Facebook group. Music from Eden, the Invincible Sword of the Elfsmith, is copyright Mott's Vent and is used with permission because Mott's is simply awesome. Radio Free Asgard should not be downloaded while pregnant, nursing, or operating heavy machinery. And we are not responsible for any damages incurred as the result of this misuse. Side effects may include being lost in a cave and finding a magical hammer and falling in love with Jane Foster. Once again, thank you for listening to Radio Free Asgard.